You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Now, there is a lot we could talk about today. The Mets had another rough series, losing to the Reds. Kumar Rocker will not be a Met. Jacob DeGrom is hurt again. The trade deadline is passed, so much to get into, but after Saturday's walk-off victory, I decided I had to hit record and just get something on tape because I knew that Sunday could really change the feelings in that moment after what was a really exciting game, so I said, let me record something. So that's what we're going to start today's show with, which is my plea for Mets fans to embrace the ebbs and flows of this season. And also appreciate what was a great game on Saturday night. Then I'll talk a little bit about the Kumar Rocker situation as his medical history essentially scared the Mets off. They did not offer that $6 million signing bonus and he will not be a Met. So I'll get through some of the details on that. And finally, in the last segment, I'll talk about the Jacob DeGrom injury, what it means for the Mets now, what it meant for them at the deadline, and what this team will be looking like moving forward as they enter their series this week against the Miami Marlins. But before we get to any of that, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also follow the show at Locked On Mets, where we did just have a giveaway for signed photos of Edgardo Alfonso and Ron Darling, who were inducted into the Mets Hall of Fame over the weekend. And I have the winner here. It is LoreD123 on Twitter. Lauren, I will reach out to you, get your information, and send you your signed photos. Now, here is me Saturday night after that Mets win. So I'm sitting here on Saturday night about to go to bed, and I decided I just got to record something because we just watched Javi Baez have his Mets debut. He had a huge home run late to put the Mets back into the game. The Mets have a walk-off victory. Brandon Drury is on a ridiculous tear right now, and everyone is in this euphoric state of Mets baseball. And I wanted to make sure I got something on the record before, let's be honest, Sunday's game could happen and the Mets could blow this series to the Reds and everyone's going to be falling off a cliff the other way. So I wanted to capture the excitement of this moment because I think Mets fans need to take a step back and embrace this season a little bit more. Are the Mets running away with this division like a team with their payroll and their talent should? No. But are they giving fans a lot of great moments? Is this team a hell of a lot of fun to watch? Are they coming together as personalities? And there's a horse in the dugout at time for home runs. The home run horse, Donnie Stevenson, the rat and the raccoon. You got heroes like Billy McKinney and Brandon Drury who have ridiculous weeks and then most likely fall back down to earth. It's a fun team to watch. And I feel like everyone, especially at the deadline, everything was so frantic and you're just anxious as a Mets fan, right? You think about 07, you think about 08. I know I'm not supposed to say those out loud, but I promise me speaking them out loud does not mean that they're going to repeat history here in 2021. And if you want to chop up that audio, if this bites me, that's fine, okay? Maybe I'm wrong and I eat crow, but it's not necessarily about the confidence in this team this season. Because let's be honest, for a large portion of the year, this has been a 500 team outside of a stretch where Jacob DeGrom was otherworldly, the Mets rotation was otherworldly, and the Mets went with a lot of guys that probably shouldn't have. They've been about a 500 team all year. With all that said, they're still fun to watch, and they give you moments like Saturday night where you can feel like a kid again and cheer as Javi Baez, in his Mets debut, with all of his swagger, hits a two-run homer to put the Mets back in the game. And the best part about this experience is right before that, Jonathan VR, who has been just a legend for me this year. I mean, produced so much content. I bought the Jonathan VR jersey. I hated on him early on. He carried the Mets through a portion of this season, and now they have a guy in Javi Baez that will eventually push him to the bench where, you know, he can thrive in a more limited role. Because in a big spot late in the game, he was daydreaming. And I know I'm jumping around here, but this is what was the big crux of the game. The sixth inning. The Rich Hill experience was the Rich Hill experience. He gave up four runs. He got you through five innings. The bullpen was awesome. Five scoreless. So you relied on your bullpen. You're going to have guys like Rich Hill, and you're going to have maybe Trevor Williams, and these guys are going to just try to eat innings for you and get you through five innings of a game where your offense can win sometimes. And that's what happened here. So you get to the sixth inning. Javi Baez is looming. Jonathan Villar draws a walk. Pete Alonso gets a hit. You got a lot cooking. And then Jonathan Villar, maybe he was looking at someone in the crowd. Maybe he got distracted by the music in the stadium. He was daydreaming. That's just what happened. He gets picked off second. And suddenly there's that dread again. But then Baez comes up with all the swagger in the world. A showman, El Mago, trying to make magic happen. And he hits a two-run homer. So now the Mets are right back in the game. And there's still that dread that, man, if you know what a moment that was. But VR had to get picked off. So they're going to lose again. And then there's that pessimism the Mets fans have. And I get it. It's earned with this franchise. Believe me. But this team's fun. Enjoy it. Because Dominic Smith has an unbelievable at-bat in the ninth inning. There was a runner in scoring position for him. He's facing Sean Doolittle, who is the opposite of a Mets killer. He is a great engineer of Mets moments with his pitching and, you know, in this case, leaving a curveball up enough for Dom to fight off a base hit. But the at-bat before it was remarkable as Dom fouled off four of the first five pitches he saw. He fell behind 0-2, just kept battling, got nothing but fastballs. Doolittle tries to sneak a curveball by him, probably tried to waste it, but he left it out too much. Dom gets the base hit. Game goes to extras. Edwin Diaz was actually great for once. Gets some big strikeouts when he fell in the hole early. Gets out of a jam there with the ghost runners starting out the inning and eventually runners at the corners. You get to the bottom of the 10th inning. Who's leading off? Brandon Drury, who is hotter than anyone in baseball, except for maybe the guy on the other side, Joey Votto, who missed a home run late by couple inches that would have changed this game entirely. Again, baseball, the narratives, it's all measured in such small little doses that swing the emotions of an entire fan base. It's crazy. Brandon Drury gets the clutch hit. The Mets get a victory. And the only way that victory would have been sweeter is if you had bet on it at Bet Online, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whether it's the NFL, Major League Baseball, or any other sport, BetOnline has you covered. They even have awards TV shows and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. Your online sportsbook experts. The reason why I want to talk about all this now, why it's fresh in my mind, is because I have been hearing so much negativity about what the Mets did at the deadline. They should have done more. They should have gotten more pitching, more bullpen. They should have got a player better than Baez. I mean, all of this stuff. And look, I've played into it. I did a lot of shows about the deadline. I didn't necessarily want Javi Baez. He was maybe third on my list. He wasn't the guy that I was targeting. I liked his teammate more. I wanted Chris Bryant as a Met. And Javi Baez has his faults. In the ninth inning, he came up in a very big spot and he struck out like Javi Baez will. But you know what? Javi Baez is a showman. And he hits the home run. He gets his first curtain call in his first game. It's almost the antithesis of the Francisco Lindor experience where he comes in, you know he's going to be with you for 11 years. He gets off to a slow start and he's getting booed. Here's Javi Baez, a rental at the moment, and he endears himself to the fan base in a single game. The beautiful thing about this trade with Javi Baez, whether it is for 2 months or he's signed long-term. And again, I was against signing him long-term before the weekend, before I just watched a home run that maybe changed my mind, maybe it didn't. I can still make the argument for Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos tearing the cover off the ball in the minors and why spend all that money on Baez. But I don't want to focus on that in the middle of this season. That is a conversation for the offseason. Right now, let's enjoy Javi Baez, who is one of the biggest stars in baseball, who's a hell of a lot of fun to watch, whether he's striking out four times and driving you nuts or when he's hitting a clutch home run. And he's an all-or-nothing guy. The reason why he struck out in the ninth is because he was swinging out of his shoes to hit a walk-off. That's the kind of player he is. But he's going to make some incredible plays that are going to go viral. He is going to be fun in between games, before games, after games. It's just a fun team to watch. And I don't want Mets fans to let a really exciting season pass them by where the players are, if nothing else, extremely entertaining. Just because you're caught up in this idea that you have to win a World Series this year. But the bigger picture here is that the Mets have Steve Cohen, not Jeff Wilpon. Now there's baseball people making baseball decisions, and there's a guy with a big pocketbook that's going to bring you stars like Javi Baez, whether it's for a season or 10 years. And you look at the Washington Nationals, in your division, 2019, they win a World Series. This is a team that has spent a ton of money the last decade, but every contract was deferred. Did you think that once that ownership group got a World Series, they were just going to spend? They spent after the World Series. They brought Strasburg back. Let Rendon walk, though. They knew they had a small window with the Scherzer contract. You can't trade him until you can trade him when he's in the final year and your team's not good anymore. And then you try to get some value. And suddenly, you look at the trade deadline. The Nationals just strip clean their entire championship roster except for Juan Soto. He's the Will Smith meme from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He's by himself. Trey Turner, a superstar shortstop, and they just let that superstar leave their team because they're going to reset. They're going to be bad for a couple of years. All they're going to have on their books is the bad contracts of Steven Strasburg and Patrick Corbin, with Strasburg, who just got thoracic outlet syndrome. Same thing that, you know, really hurt Harvey's career. Maybe he's making a little push right now. Had some success with the Orioles recently. That's great, but it's going to be a long road for Strasburg. Corbin's bad now. That's a lot of money they're still going to have to try to deal with the next couple of years. So they're going to look at Juan Soto and they're going to say, go win an MVP on a terrible team. And then when he's ready to get his contract, that'll be half of $1 billion. They'll try to keep him. But because they won that World Series, they're good. Look at the Cubs. Big market team. They broke their curse. 108 years. They had Theo. They had the whole deal. Rizzo, Baez, Bryant, gone. None of them get extensions. Not even Rizzo. Because they lowballed him. Because they won their World Series and they are ready to reset and not spend as much money. The Mets have Steve Cohen. So stop worrying about whether the Mets win a World Series this year. Enjoy the fact that your team is good. Are they great? No. They're good. And are you really going to poo-poo good as a Mets fan? Come on. Really? Enjoy the season. There's no more trade deadline. There's nothing else that could be done. Why worry about what could have been done at the deadline? Watch the games. Get mad when they lose. Get excited when they win. Rinse and repeat. That's what it means to be a baseball fan. It's just that simple. And the good thing is, they don't win a World Series this year. They are going to be going for it every offseason and every trade deadline until they do win a World Series. And the best part, unlike the Nationals and unlike the Cubs, the Mets might be like the Dodgers, who just won a World Series and made the trade to get Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. Because unlike 28 other teams in the sport, money is no object out there. And guess what? It's no object in Queens either since Steve Cohen bought this team. So embrace that, enjoy this season, and don't worry about all the other stuff. That's my rant. Gonna go to bed. So as I sit here on Sunday after all the events that unfolded today and listen back to that. I am happy I recorded it because I think that was a game that was worth remembering, and I wouldn't have reflected on it as kindly today as I did yesterday because the Mets lost the series and then Kumar Rocker is now not a Met. And so there is once again a level of pessimism around this team and around this organization right now because, for one, the lineup was simply terrible in that series once again. The offense, which was great throughout the first 3 weeks and change of July, just fell apart in the final week of the month. And once again, you're saying, why can't the Mets string together victories? It's because their lineup has not been able to produce consistently. Now, another thing that struck me listening back to that is I was very high on Steve Cohen, as I have been since he took over the team. And maybe today is not the day to have pro-Cohen rhetoric out there because Steve Cohen is in a little bit of hot water for what he said about the Kumar Rocker situation, where he basically tipped his hand and essentially said that Kumar Rocker was not valuable to the Mets at $6 million or really at all based on the medical history. And the 11th pick in next year's draft, according to their team, was more valuable than Kumar Rocker. That's what happened there. But Steve Cohen tweeted something out about it that was incredibly insensitive to a player who now has to sit out for a year and really showed the dirty business side of the game of baseball. And I'm sure he was fed up hearing that he was too poor because he knows, as one of the richest owners in sports, maybe the richest owner in sports, that he obviously can pay any rookie signing bonus. It wasn't about that. And he's getting frustrated as a guy with a big ego at hearing people say same old Mets, they're penny pinching. That is not what happened with Kumar Rocker. And so here we are. I am talking in that Saturday segment before everything happened about how much Cohen's great and how much he's going to spend. And then Sunday, fans are going to come right back at me and say, look, he's not spending. Let me just break down all the financial moves recently. And then at some point this week, I'll try to get somebody on who can explain everything that broke down with Kumar Rocker a little bit further. But let's just go through the financial things most recently. You have the PCA Javi Baez trade, where the Mets give up a great prospect in Pete Crow Armstrong, and they get money back in the deal. People are pointing to that and saying, look, here's the Mets pinching pennies. The reason why they did that, that's more of a promise towards future spending, because they did not want to go over the luxury tax, as Cohen had previously said, unless they were going to blow through it. And once it was clear that Javi Baez was likely the only move that was getting made, along with Trevor Williams coming back in that deal, the Mets wanted to avoid paying the repeater luxury tax penalties, which are pretty stark. So they get that money in the trade. I did talk about this on Friday's second episode after the Javi Baez trade. But that's the first bit of quote-unquote penny pinching. That's not exactly penny pinching. Then you get to Kumar Rocker. According to Andy Martino's reporting, the Mets were not haggling over the bonus at all. They essentially didn't want to sign him. That's what this came down to, according to Martino's reporting. They were essentially giving him the option to come to the Mets, no signing bonus, or be a free agent, because they were so scared away by what they saw on the medicals. They didn't want to give him $6 million of that bonus, and the bigger reason was not the money for the bonus. It's that they did not believe in him as a prospect more than they wanted the 11th pick in next year's draft. That's really what happened here. And it's not uncommon. We've seen it in the past when it comes to the MLB draft, where there's some issue in the medical history that'll come up and there'll be a disagreement where the teams are looking to get that draft pick next year and the players are not willing to compromise and sign a significantly lesser signing bonus to remain with the team. And again, apparently the Mets didn't even want to negotiate that signing bonus down. They basically were just so scared off by the medicals that they didn't want Kumar Rocker. We can debate whether that was the right decision, and we'll talk about that later this week. But when it comes to everything that's unfolded over this past 7 days here, I know there's some people thinking same old Mets. When it comes to the financial side of things, this is not even close to the same ballpark that you are living in with the Wilpons. It's just not. The Mets will be spending more money, and it just comes down to making investments that their team, their front office, their analytics guys feel are the right investments to make. And we'll find out how smart those people are as the Mets play these seasons out. But for now, you have the 2021 season to watch. As I said in that rant, enjoy it. And we'll see how this franchise is run moving forward. It's still in better hands than it previously was. Whether you like Steve Cohen or not, I think everyone can agree, better than the Wilpons. And maybe that's where we should leave this. But we still have to talk about the worst news of the entire weekend. Worse than losing out on Kumar Rocker, in my opinion. What is going on with Jacob DeGrom? We'll talk about that and how the Mets will bounce back from this series against the Reds in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you about the protein bars that taste like candy bars. Did you know there were so many delicious flavors of Built Bars? You can get anything that you like, no matter what your taste buds want, whether it's a coconut bar, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. There are a ton of flavors to choose from. And if you haven't tried them all yet, get a mixed box, get two of each. You can try all the flavors, decide what's best for you, and then order more. These, as I said, are protein bars that taste like candy bars because they're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. They come low in calories, low in sugar, but they're high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So let's finally talk about Jacob DeGrom. Once again, there's inflammation in his pitching arm, shutting him down right when he was getting ramped up, and you're looking at a timetable where maybe he gets back in September. Awful, awful news for this Mets team, and they found out about it ahead of the deadline, which is why a lot of people were saying, why didn't they do more at the deadline? But what Zach Scott said is you can't replace Jacob DeGrom. And if you think about what was available at the deadline, there really wasn't a lot that they could have gone to. Once Jose Berrios was off the table, and apparently the asking price, if you believe this report, by I think it was Anthony DiComo, apparently a source told him that the asking price was Jeff McNeil, Francisco Alvarez, and a top 7 prospect, which is the most ridiculous asking price you can imagine. To not only give up Jeff McNeil when you're a winning team and you need McNeil, but also on top of that, to give up one of the best catching prospects in baseball in Francisco Alvarez. Oh, and more on top of that for Jose Berrios, get out of here with that. So that takes Berrios out of the equation. Scherzer didn't want to pitch for you. So what were you left with? Zach Davies? I mean, come on. So with that said, I'm fine with the Mets not panicking and just trying to add starters because right now they have a 5-man rotation. Carlos Carrasco, Tyler McGill, Taijuan Walker, Marcus Stroman, and Rich Hill. And not in that particular order. I'd probably have Tyler McGill as the ace. That's right, because McGill's out here having an unbelievable rookie season, and you need him to be 2014 Jacob DeGrom at this point to help carry this rotation. But in reality, Carlos Carrasco coming back, if you said, and this is a very Wilpon-like thing to do, to talk about an injured player as being a deadline addition, but I'm going to do it anyway, because if you had looked at the trade deadline and you got Carlos Carrasco and Javi Baez, you'd have been thrilled. So the fact that this team adds Carlos Carrasco now into the rotation, he looked good in his first start, gave up an early home run, settled down, still has to stretch out, but he can be your ace right now. I'm okay with the Mets not adding a starter at the deadline. Should they have added a bullpen arm? Maybe. I mean, it would have been nice. You had Anthony Banda and that Hartlieb guy that I'm not going to even learn. I think it's Jeff Hartlieb. Whatever. Those guys went out. They pitched this weekend in close games. They didn't do well. I know fans are clamoring for more pitching. I get that they probably should have added some bullpen arms, but we don't know what the price tag was. And I think overall, the way the front office looked at that deadline, they said, look, if we're going to reach our ceiling this year, it's because Jacob DeGrom and or Noah Syndergaard will get healthy in September. Any other move we make is not going to necessarily raise our floor much more than it's at right now with the roster we have. And the only way the Mets are going to start to win is if the bats wake up. So that is where the Mets are right now. I think if you look at their bullpen as a whole, it's still pretty strong. The rotation is questionable, but if Marcus Stroman and Taijuan Walker can pitch up to their capabilities, if Tyler McGill keeps this thing going, and if Carlos Carrasco is the Carlos Carrasco we saw in Cleveland, the Mets rotation will be okay. And then Rich Hill is Rich Hill, where he might get knocked around a bit, but he might eat some innings for you, get you through a lineup two times. It's like Joey Lucchese, but 10 years older. Probably more than 10 years older. Maybe 15 years older. So that's where the Mets are right now with the Jacob deGrom situation, how they'll manage it. When it comes to what is ahead of them, I don't know if I've mentioned this on a podcast. I know I did on Twitter. 25 of the Mets' final, at the time it was 61 games, now I guess 25 of 58 games are going to be played against the Nationals, who just stripped their roster bare, and the Marlins, who have been a bad team all year. They got to beat up on these bad teams because they play 10 more games against the Marlins and the Nationals than the Phillies and the Braves do. So that's your advantage in the second half here, or in the final couple months here. You got to handle business against those fifth place teams. Because I'm sorry, looking at the lineup right now the Mets have, no matter how bad they performed, they should be able to beat the Nationals and the Marlins. That they can't, they're just not a good enough team. They're not a playoff team. And anything that they could have added around the edges at the deadline would not have changed that. But I do want to close talking about how much this situation sucks with Jacob deGrom, not even from a Mets perspective, from a greatness legacy perspective. Jacob deGrom, in my opinion, has been robbed of what would have been right up there with Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, Greg Maddux for one of the greatest four-year stretches in baseball history. 2018, Cy Young. 2019, Cy Young. 2020, comes out throwing 101 on pace for a Cy Young, but it was a weird year where he didn't get to pitch on his normal routine, and it's a shortened season, so Trevor Bauer steals a Cy Young right out from under him, where Jacob deGrom, if it was a full season, absolutely would have won. So now you're talking about a potential back-to-back-to-back Cy Young, and there's only been two other pitchers that have ever done that, Randy Johnson and Greg Maddux. Both of them did it four times in a row, and I believe if deGrom's schedule didn't get thrown off, where he went from going 200-plus innings each year and pitching from April through September to having this weird layoff, he had two off seasons essentially with the shutdown to the lead up to a 60-game season to another off season. I think that's thrown him into whack, which is why this year his arm just can't keep up with his output. And so it really did dampen what could have been one of the most remarkable four-year stretchers in MLB history. It's still pretty special, but it gets ruined these last 2 years. So that's really unfortunate. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. And if you want betting to no longer be a guessing game, make sure you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day by following the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.